Welcome to Audio of the Divine Principle, a daily reading of the Divine Principle, which is the core text of the Unificationist community. Part 2, Chapter 6, The Second Advent. Jesus clearly foretold of his return, yet he added that no one knew of the day and hour of his return, not the angels, not even himself. Hence, it has been commonly thought unwise to speculate about the date, place, and manner of the second advent. Nevertheless, we can deduce from the words of Jesus, "But of that day and hour no one knows, but the Father only," and the verse, "Surely the Lord does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets," that God, who knows the day and hour, will surely reveal all secrets about the second advent to his prophets before he carries out his work. Although Jesus said that the Lord will come like a thief, it is also written that for those in the light, the Lord will not come covertly like a thief. When we reflect upon the events at Jesus' first coming, we realize that he came like a thief to the priests and scribes who were in darkness, but to the family of John the Baptist, which was in the light, God plainly revealed Jesus' birth beforehand. When Jesus was born, God divulged this secret to the three wise men, Simon, Anna, and the shepherds. Jesus said, "But take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with aspiration and drunkenness and cares of this life, that the day come to you suddenly like a snare, for it will come upon all who dwell upon the face of the whole earth. But watch at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that will take place, and to stand before the Son of Man." Luke chapter 21, verses 34 through 36. Thus, Jesus strongly suggested that the secret of the time, place, and manner of his return would be revealed to the faithful people who are vigilant, that they may prepare for the day of the second advent. In the providence of restoration, God always revealed to his prophets what he would do before he carried it out. The flood judgment in Noah's day, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the birth of Jesus are only a few examples. Accordingly, regarding the second advent of the Lord, God will certainly give prophecies to those faithful believers who are in the light and have ears to hear and eyes to see. As it is written, "In the days and the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Section 1. When will Christ return? We call the time of Christ's second advent the last days. As it was already explained, we are living in the last days today. We can thus understand that today is truly the time of Christ's return. From the standpoint of providential history, Jesus came at the conclusion of the 2,000-year-long Old Testament age, the age of the providence restoration. The principle of restoration through indemnity leads us to infer that Christ is to return at the end of the 2,000-year-long New Testament age, the age of the prolongation of the providence restoration, which has been restoring the previous age through substantial parallel conditions of indemnity. As was discussed in detail with reference to the First World War, soon after the defeat of Germany and the Kaiser, the antitype of Adam on Satan's side, Stalin, the antitype of Christ at the Second Advent on Satan's side, rose to power and built up the communist world. This means that the time was drawing nigh when Christ would return and restore through indemnity the ideal world characterized by interdependence, mutual prosperity, and universally shared values. We can thus conclude that the period of the Second Advent began soon after the end of the First World War. Section 2. In what manner will Christ return? Section 2.1. Perspectives on the Bible. God reveals well in advance all the essential matters of his will in parables and symbols, in order that people living in any age can understand the demands of the providence for their time and for the future according to the level of their intellect and spirituality. The fact that God uses parables and symbols in the Bible has inevitably resulted in many divergent interpretations. This is a major reason why the churches have become divided. In interpreting the Bible, therefore, the most important matter is to find the right perspective. For example, consider John the Baptist. For 2,000 years we read the Bible with the preconception that John completed his given mission. Therefore, his passages appear to support this. But when we re-examine the Bible more closely from a different standpoint, we could clearly recognize that John the Baptist in fact did not complete his mission. Until today, many of us have read the Bible with the preconceived notion that Jesus will come on the clouds with signs and wonders. This is based on such words of Jesus as, "They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds." Matthew chapter 24, verses 30 and 31. If we adhere closely to a literal interpretation, the biblical evidence indeed seems to support in that direction. However, the idea that Christ will return on the clouds is totally unacceptable to the scientific mind of the modern age. We find it necessary to probe more deeply into the Bible from another standpoint to grasp the true meaning of such verses. This new perspective is suggested by our earlier investigation of the biblical passages concerning John the Baptist. The prophet Malachi foretold that Elijah will return before the coming of the Messiah. As they eagerly awaited that day, many Jews believed that Elijah, who had ascended to heaven, would come down from heaven in the same way he had ascended. Contrary to their expectation, however, Jesus boldly claimed that John the Baptist, the son of Zechariah, was Elijah. If we believe Jesus' testimony, the return of Elijah was never meant to take place in the miraculous manner many Jewish people expected. In fact, it occurred through the birth of a child. In like manner, many Christians to the present day believe that Jesus will return on the clouds. However, what have we learned about the actual return of Elijah? It suggests another possibility, that Christ's return may be fulfilled through the birth of a child, just as like the first coming. From this perspective, let us closely re-examine the biblical verses concerning the second coming. At the first coming of Jesus, many of the learned men of Israel thought that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem as a descendant of King David. Yet there were undoubtedly many Jews who would expect the Messiah to come on the clouds. This belief was based on their reading of the prophecy of Daniel. "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man," and other prophecies of supernatural events in the last days. Therefore, the Pharisees and Sadducees questioned Jesus, demanding that he show them a sign from heaven as proof that he was the Messiah. Without any of the supernatural signs from heaven foretold in the Bible, they could not readily accept him as the long-awaited Messiah. The belief that the Messiah should come supernaturally persisted after the death of Jesus, even among some heterodox Christians who believed that he had not come in a body of flesh. The Apostle John condemned those believers as antichrists. "For many deceivers have gone out into the world, men who would not acknowledge the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is a deceiver and the antichrist." 2 John chapter 7. Many Christians assert that the prophecy in Daniel concerns the second advent of Christ. However, in the Old Testament age, God was working to fulfill the entire purpose of the providence of restoration with the coming of Jesus, as the Bible attests, "For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John," and "For Christ is the end of the law, that everyone who had faith may be justified." Thus, before Jesus himself began speaking about his return, no one ever even imagined a second Christ. It is obvious that no Jew at the time thought this verse in Daniel referred to anything other than what they believed to be the first and only coming of the Messiah. Contrary to the expectations of many faithful Jews who believed on biblical grounds that the Messiah would come on the clouds with a sign and portents in the heavens, Jesus was born on the earth as a child in a lowly family. Hence, we should re-examine the Bible from the perspective that the second advent of Christ may not take place in a miraculous way. It may, in fact, take place in the same manner as the first advent.